This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
ISU's Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies program recently teamed up with the university's Queer Coalition to hold an event about LGBTQ justice, policy, and awareness. To get a better look at the event, along with other collaborations between the two groups on campus, WZND's Bella Morello spoke to Queer Coalition co-president Carmine Beecroft.
Going into the Lunch and Learn event, that was yesterday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give a little overview into what the event was?
Yeah, so this is a series that we started a couple of years ago, and we've been trying to do two of them per semester, and we poll our membership for issues that are of interest to them and then try to find a speaker who can meet that need. So in this case, we invited Mike Ziri, who is the Director of Public Policy for Equality Illinois, which is Illinois' LGBTQ+ civil rights organization, to come to campus to talk about the current state of LGBTQ rights in the United States and in Illinois and legislative changes that are coming at the state level and the federal level that relate to LGBTQ people.
And then for this event specifically, what was the goal of this Lunch and Learn?
Just to educate the people who attended on, as I said, the state of LGBTQ rights in a legal context in Illinois specifically, but also around the country. And then also, he also included some information, you know, about how to contact your representative, some initiatives that they're working on. So that getting back to that legal landscape. So updating, modernizing birth certificates. So having the ability to put an X marker on birth certificates. They're trying to get the provision that in order to change your name legally in Illinois, you have to publish your dead name and your new name in the newspaper for 3 weeks, and that costs like $160. So that's both it's expensive. And then also, you know, you're having to out yourself publicly. So that's something that they're working on. They just got adopted an LGBTQ+ and HIV cultural competency provision for attorneys and judges. So that was adopted recently. They also got passed a law requiring healthcare providers to do cultural competency continuing education on a certain schedule. They passed a law in 2020 that helped inform the legislators to pass a law in 2023 about expanding opportunities for gender-neutral restrooms. So there's like 7 provisions that are required to turn a multi-user single-sex restroom into an all-gender restroom. Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff we talked about.
Can you share your thoughts on how you felt his speech went and how it impacted the audience?
I thought it was great. It was really good to get specific statistics and see that connected to the legislative changes that queer people would like to see in Illinois and around the country.
Yeah. And kind of going into what led to this event, what sparked this conversation and this Lunch and Learn?
Just being queer in the world right now, you know, it's not great. And people are worried. And we're seeing, you know, one of the statistics he gave was that as of June last year, there were 527 anti-LGBTQ bills that had been introduced in state legislators around the country. And at this point, it's more like 600. So, yeah, it doesn't feel great knowing that so many people in state legislatures want to take away your fundamental rights. So we wanted to help our members get clarity on what's actually happening and give them some information about being part of the democratic process.
Yeah, yeah. And overall, do you feel that the event met the goal that you were looking for and educated the audience?
Yeah, definitely. I have attended a couple of Equality Illinois events that have been hosted by Prairie Pride Coalition, which is our community partner group. They are based in Bloomington Normal. And so that's why, you know, Mike's name came up to me when we were talking about who we wanted to invite. I definitely think he filled the brief.
Since you're part of the Queer Coalition, I'm not sure if you can really speak on behalf of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies, But can you speak a little bit about what Queer Coalition is?
Yeah, so we are Illinois State University's official sponsored LGBTQIA plus faculty, staff, and grad student affinity group. So that means the sponsored part means that the university gives us money, and we use our budget every year to put on programming that is of interest to our members, whether that be educational programming, social programming, and we provide spaces for our members to speak to each other, and also, we direct people to resources and also want to be able to surface our concerns with university administration. And then Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies is an academic department that is very close to us. A lot of our members are also employed there, and they have interests in some of the same stuff that we do. So they had a Queer Talk series in previous years, and we had our Lunch and Learn series, and last year we decided to combine them. And so they pay for one of them, we pay for the other one, and so it just makes our money stretch a little farther.
Okay, and then are there any future events in mind?
Yes. Yeah, like I said, we try to do two per semester, so the second one of the semester will be on November 13th. That is with Carl, which is one of the two main healthcare systems in Bloomington Normal, and we will be talking about advanced care planning, which is sometimes also referred to as power of attorney. This has been an issue for the queer community for many years. It's not quite as much of an issue now that same-sex marriage has been legalized nationwide, but there's always been healthcare disparities with queer people in hospitals. And so basically a healthcare directive, a power of attorney, provides your wishes should you become incapacitated. And so that's something that, both of my parents are from a medical background. That's something that I've always had on my mind, but it's something that people don't really think about until something terrible happens. And then you don't want to be in a situation where you're in a hospital bed, or you're in a coma or something like that, and the hospital is saying that your partner can't make important decisions for you because your relationship isn't official enough, or, they might be referring to you by your dead name if you have a different legal name than the one that you use, in day-to-day life. So that just is going to be a presentation describing what decisions you should make now in the event that you're not able to make them later, and providing a space to write all of that stuff down so that you have a record in the event that it's needed.
WGSS and the Queer Coalition have more events coming up in October and November, including a free film series, so keep an eye out for more on them.
ISU has teamed up with Heartland Community College to promote the recent Digital Literacy Week. This will help promote residents of the community to broaden their knowledge on the growing technology. Caitlin Wittes of the WZND News Team contacted ISU's Director of Programs and Partnership, Harriet Steinbach, to explain how digital literacy can provide benefits in the future.
What is digital literacy?
So digital literacy is really all of the skills that you need to effectively engage online.
All right, and then what is Digital Literacy Week?
Digital Literacy Week is a national initiative through one of the federal agencies, and it's just an opportunity for organizations and government entities to highlight the need for digital literacy and digital equity throughout our nation, but also showcase the work that is already happening.
Great. And I heard that ISU and Heartland are partnering for this. What are some projects or steps that they're working on?
Yeah, so this will be our second year in the partnership. Last year, we partnered for digital skills training as well as device distribution. So the folks at Heartland led a number of trainings. And so we had over 70 people across Heartland's three campuses that participated in skills training. And so that skills training can range from very new to using a computer. And so some basic, how you turn on, how does a mouse work, how do you open applications, to a more sophisticated use of email, Excel, Word, and then also more real life kinds of usages, like applying for a job, scheduling a medical appointment, or being able to participate in a telehealth appointment, along with some cybersecurity, being able to protect yourself from phishing and other scams. So we did that training last year, and then in conjunction with that, we worked with an organization called PCs for People that distributes refurbished laptops and desktops to low-income individuals that meet some certain thresholds. And so we were able to distribute just over 50 laptops to folks last year. So this year, we are expanding our efforts. This initiative that ISU leads comes from a grant through the Illinois Broadband Lab and the Illinois Office of Broadband. And we are supposed to engage the entire North Central Economic Region in the state of Illinois. So that's 10 counties. And last year, we really focused on the areas where Heartland was, as well as Peoria. And so this year, we are amplifying our efforts by making sure that we engage with all 10 counties through partnerships with public libraries. So we'll still be doing device distribution, and we'll still be doing skills training, but the public libraries are really going to take the lead on that, and we're going to provide the funding for them to be able to do that in the way that makes most sense for their patrons and their communities.
What is your role in this partnership and promoting digital literacy?
Yeah, so I work in the Office of Research, and as a part of that, I lead our, the project is called Broadband Ready, and so I am the ISU lead on this initiative. So I'm that central coordinating person for the North Central Economic Region. But I want to be clear that I'm not the only person that's doing this work, that we have a partner through University of Illinois Extension Office and through the Greater Peoria Economic Development Council. And those folks together with myself, we're making sure that we can reach all of the folks in the 10 counties. And then, of course, we have our folks from Heartland Community College that are experts in the North Star Digital Literacy Training. And then we have Dr. John Kostelnik, who is in the Department of Geography and Geology. And he is also going to be conducting some research with students related to the vertical assets that exist in all of those counties, kind of getting to that bigger picture of what are the possibilities for adding more wire to make sure that not only do people have devices and they have the skill, necessary skills to use the devices and the internet, but that they also have good quality accessible internet in their communities.
Great. And then my last question for you is, why do you think digital literacy access is so important?
It really is an economic development issue at this point. When we think about all of the ways that we need the internet and we need to effectively use the internet and use computers in our daily lives almost hourly. So, you know, nearly every job you have to be able to apply online. Accessing your medical records now, communicating with your doctor if you have a quick question and you need to log into the portal and send a message to the nurse. All of those things are how our communities operate now. And so we can't be thriving communities if folks don't have access to devices and the internet and aren't able to effectively use those. And so when folks do have all of those things, then they can access the resources they need to be happy and healthy and provide for families and work and engage with our communities.
For more information, check out the full story at WZND.com under the News tab. We're going to take a quick break, but we've got some great stories you don't want to miss. Keep listening to Second Look right here on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
A new RSO recently formed on campus. Girls Gains ISU, with the intent of creating a safe space for women to weightlift together. The group's founder, Senior Anessa Ortega, noticed a lack of weightlifting clubs on campus and decided to start one herself. The The group is a chapter of the larger Girls Gain organization, which spans across multiple countries and has over 100 chapters.
Illinois' Department of Children and Family Services, also known as Child Protective Services, is opening a new training center at ISU. The goal of the program is to help train students in child welfare, both in the classroom and in hands-on simulations. The simulation will include two mock apartments, a mock classroom, a mock medical office, and a mock courtroom, all of which will be staffed by actors to help with the simulation. The hope is to train students in what a real-world day in the field would look like.
Monday through Wednesday this week, the McLean County Health Department is hosting a walk-in clinic for COVID-19 and the flu at several locations around Bloomington Normal. Locations include the health department itself, Bloomington Activities and Recreation Center, 200 West Front Street, and 600 East Willow Street. The event hopes to make it easy for people to get vaccinated, both from the flu and COVID evolve from new strands quickly, so experts stress the importance of getting the shots every year.
On Wednesday, ISU police announced they were closing the case on the hate crime that shook the school in late August. Near the start of the school year, a student was attacked late at night outside the Bone Student Center in what police believed to be a homophobic hate crime. Now, after months of investigation, the police were unable to find anyone responsible. Despite the case being closed, police still urge anyone with information to reach out to them.
Miller Park Zoo will soon be holding a Day of the Monarchs in celebration of monarch butterflies. The zoo, which participates in a federal program of catching, tagging, and releasing monarch butterflies, is hoping the event will help educate about the butterfly's ecological and cultural importance. The event is set to happen on October 19th from noon to 2. ISU Sports was back in action this weekend. The football team fell at the hands of number 25 ranked Missouri State by a score of 41-7. The Bears scored 17 unanswered points in the first half of the first quarter. MSU's quarterback Jacob Clark tossed for 343 yards and lit up the Redbird defense. Offensively, backup quarterback Jake Rubley led the way with 167 yards through the air. ISU drops to 4-3 on the season and 1-2 in Valley play. They will fly to Kentucky to take on Murray State next Saturday at 2 p.m.
The Bloomington Bison took the ice against the Indy Fuel to conclude its preseason and fell 4-2 on Saturday night. The outcome may not have been pretty, but Chongmin Lee notches his name into the Bison history books as he scores the first goal for the team. The Bison will welcome the Toledo Walleye into Grossinger Motor Arena for its first official game on October 19th at 7 p.m. The ISU volleyball team brought out the brooms this weekend. On Friday, the Redbirds took care of Indiana State by a score of 3-0. Freshman Kennedy Guest set a career high in kills with 15 in the match. On Saturday, the Redbirds kept that same momentum, rolling to defeat Evansville in 3 sets.
Speaking of volleyball, ISU will head to Peoria for its I-74 rivalry against Bradley. I attended the Redbirds practice last Thursday to discuss with head coach Allie Matters on her plan for taking on the Braves. Additionally, Matters discussed her thoughts on 2-time freshman player of the week, Kennedy Guest, and first-time player of the week, Ada Shadowalt.
Yeah, the rivalry, I knew that it was a rivalry, you know, when I took the job. It's different knowing about it than it is like playing in it and being a part of it. And it's just as the seasons, like my first season, I'm like, wow, this rivalry is a big deal. The second season, it even got like crazier and uglier. And, you know, so it's always a barn burner with Bradley. Like it's almost just an expectation. Maybe a couple matches here or there, but like we never smoke them and they never smoke us. It's always just, it's extra points. It's a fifth set type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a rivalry that our program just appreciates and respects. I think Bradley's having a great season. You know, they got a lot of transfers. They have a lot of newbies just like us. So I think, you know, whoever shows up and plays better that night is going to ultimately take the match. So, you know, we have to worry about tomorrow and Saturday, but I know that that's kind of like the big match this week for sure.
And do you know any of their specific players, or do you know the coach at all? Anything you want to talk about?
I mean, not like specifically. I mean, I think that, you know, Alicia came from a junior college, and so I... Yeah, so I think that like she has that pipeline to junior college athletes, which they sprinkled a bunch of those in, so they have a bunch of new players. You know, last year they had really good seniors that I was just like, wow, thank God those players are done. So, you know, they got transfers just like we did, and they have some freshmen contributing just like we do. So they're definitely going to be a tough team to scout.
And can you talk about Ada and Kennedy's awards this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy. I mean, Ada has done so many great things for us. It's wild that that's the first, you know, player of the week honor for her. But I think for her, it's always, hey, I play well on Friday night, but then Saturday night, not so much, or vice versa. So for her to string together a really impressive body of work over two matches was a really huge deal for her. I know that her attention to detail with defense has been a huge thing this preseason, and it's finally, she's reaping the benefits of that. And Kennedy Guest, like, she's a great ball player. She's very physical, you know, but she's a freshman. I think everything is so new for her, and it's just such a huge transition from high school to college. And, you know, sometimes she handles it very gracefully, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I forget that you're a freshman because of how well she plays. Yeah. So Kennedy is a kid that I'm like, thank God she's on our team, you know, but I'm very proud of the both of them for sure.
And then I noticed during practice just now you had them stop.
Yep.
What did you discuss with them?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we always call like practice like we're in the lab, you know, back to the lab or whatever. And I just think that they're trying to work them out on Friday and Saturday underneath the lights when the whistle blows and there's not enough time. So I want them to figure out like, hey, are you getting that ball? Am I getting that ball? Like because there's so many newbies and there's freshmen, we have to make up for lost time and learn as much as we possibly can about each other. So when I mess up and I just walk away from you, it's like, no, that needs to be a conversation because we can't work that out on Friday and Saturday. It's too late. I want them to do it now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they know what grinds my gears and what doesn't.
Yeah.
So I thought the message was received. We'll see if it works out tomorrow.
And you just shared a moment with Ada just now.
Yeah.
What did you guys, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, it's Mental Health Day. You know, we have mental health awareness weeks and months. And I just think that for us as coaches, you know, while they're in class and while they're in exams, we're watching film, we're preparing for practice. Like, this is my, you know, this is my major, volleyball in the game, you know? So I think that for our athletes, like, Ada is a cellular and molecular biology major. She has a 4.0 and she aspires to be a pharmacist. So she was in lab all day. She was in class all day. She had a study session. She had a review. She's catching up on work that she missed last week. And then she runs into practice and I'm like, hey, I need you to work on this, this, and this. And so I think sometimes as coaches, we want their full attention in our space and we don't always get it. And it affects the way that they perform. So we just try to, like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. I need you to bring as much as you can. And I know that I get their full attention on game days, but it doesn't make it any easier to work through things. So, you know, they are students first, student athletes, not athletic students. And I think sometimes for coaches, we really have to remember that on days like today where it doesn't always look the way that we want it to look.
And then what's your game plan going into this weekend and into the Bradley match?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we always put a scout together, but if we can't execute on our side, it doesn't matter what the other side is doing. So whether, you know, we're playing Indiana State or, you know, Evansville or Bradley or Murray or teams that we've played, it just, if you can't win the serve and pass game, it does not matter what your scouting report is. So, you know, I think we trust our student athletes to make adjustments in the middle of the game, in the middle of the set, you know, whatever it may be. So I think we have our own things to iron out before we can specifically game plan for an opponent. But we're still a work in progress. Like, I know we're on like a little win streak here, but every single match in the Missouri Valley, it doesn't matter what place, who's streaking, any team can beat anyone on any given night, and that's what makes this conference fun. That's what makes this conference intimidating, that if you don't show up, you will get beat. So we are just trying to take it one match, one set, one point at a time.
The Redbirds will look to add to its 5-game winning streak as they will duel the Braves on Monday at 7 p.m., Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we looked at ISU's Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies event for LGBTQ awareness, a word from ISU's Director of Programs and Partnerships on digital literacy, and a plan from Allie Matters on the volleyball team's strategy against Bradley. For Second Look, I'm Jaden Cohn.
And I'm Joey Delahunty.
And we will see you all next week. Good luck to all of your fantasy football teams and your football teams in general. See you next week, guys.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.